This is now our second session on migration and halacha, where we're exploring various Jewish challenges and changes, especially those related to migration. And we're going to be asking, how did Jews throughout history deal with leaving their homes or being forced to move? How did religious leaders adjust to both the difficulties and opportunities migration brought? What motivated their responses? And how do we tease out the history from halachic writings? So one of the questions we're going to focus on this session is, when there is emigration, to what extent are the new communities independent halakha communities, and to what extent do they turn to their old communities for halakha guidance and support? And today we're going to talk about the era of the Gaonim and address this particular question. We're going to address what the international dynamic was between Jewish communities and Babylonia. Some say the era of the Gaonim began in the late 6th century, while others say it began in the mid 8th century, and it lasted until 1038. That was the year when Rav Haigon died, and 2 years later is the birth of Rashi, which begins generally the era of the Rishonim. The Gaonim were leaders who set the agenda of Jewish law for their time. The Babylonian Talmud was compiled by Ravina Rav Ashi around the year 500, and then for the next 100 or so years, the Talmud continued to be edited by a group of people called the Savoraim, and their names were largely unknown. The two major yeshivas of Sur and Pupadisa were the center of Torah study. These yeshivas carried on for centuries, even after the period of the Talmud, throughout the period of the Gaonim. The yeshivas before Islamic rule in Bavel and Eretz Yisrael produced two Talmuds. Yeshivas in Bavel, under Islamic rule during the era of the Gaonim, did not produce any Talmuds, and we don't know the names of many scholars during this area in these yeshivos, as opposed to the scholars from the Babylonian Talmuds whose names are known to us. We mostly know the heads of these yeshivos. They're called, as I mentioned, Gaonim, probably standing for Rosh Yeshivat Gaon Yaakov, the head of the yeshiva of the pride of Yaakov, taken from Tehillim Perek Mem Zayin, Gaon Yaakov, from the word Geut, Gaiva, the pride of. He was the ruler of Halacha. When someone had a question, only the Gaonim were authorized to communicate decisions on Jewish law and practice to other communities. The other leader at the time was the Rosh Gola, the political leader of the exile, who descended from the last kings of Yehuda, Malchi Yehuda. There were yeshivas of both Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, but the Babylonian yeshivas were the most influenced. Probably one of the most famous disputes in the era of the Gaonim revolving around this question was about the calendar. In 921, there was a big fight between the Babylonian leadership of Sadia Gaon and the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, headed by Aaron ben Meir, who claimed descent from the house of Hillel. And indeed, in 922, Jews in Eretz Yisrael celebrated Rosh Hashanah on a Tuesday, and Jews in Bavel celebrated Rosh Hashanah on a Thursday, because they had a different calculation in terms of the calendar. At the end of the day, Bavel won, highlighting their superiority, at least on this issue. The primary literary legacy of the Gaonim was responsa. Not necessarily, the responsa was not necessarily so easily preserved. Much of what we have might be only a fraction of maybe what exists. And it was difficult to preserve many documents. One of the reasons why we collected so many teshuvos from the Gaonim, responsa, is because we uncovered a whole host of documents from the era of the Gaonim in the Cairo Geniza. The collection there has some 400,000 Jewish manuscript fragments that were kept in the Geniza, or storeroom of the Ben Ezra Synagogue in Old Cairo. It wasn't just halachic literature, even laundry lists were in the Geniza. Apparently the air quality in the room preserved so many documents, and scholars like Solomon Schachter did a lot of work in collecting, categorizing many documents at the end of the 19th and beginning of the 20th century. In the tshuva that we're going to read, we're only going to read a small part of it, we will see how this tshuva addresses the relationship between diaspora communities and Bavel. And we'll also learn a technical point about the nature of Gaonic responsa. As was the custom with Torah Shebaal Peh, the earliest tefillot, the earliest prayers of the Jews were not written down. However, in response to inquiries about the structure of synagogue worship, particularly by Rav Yitzhak ben Shimon, the head of the Barcelona Jewish community, Rav Amram, who was the Gaon of Sura and Bavel, compiled the first complete order of prayers. He entitled his work the Seder or Sidur, meaning Order of Amram. And since that time, any compilation of standard liturgical prayers has been called a Sidur. And this tshuva was written in 860. And this is the first full text of a Jewish prayer book. So the way we'll just read the first page, which I think will highlight the relationship between Bavel and other communities, or at least the community in Spain. So it begins, Seder of Amram Gaon, Birchot HaShachar, Amram ben Sheshna, Rasheshna Resh Mesivta de Masa Machasya. So Amram, the son of Sheshna, who's the Rosh Hashiva of Masa Machasya. Masa Machasya was another name for the Shiva of Surah. Two towns may have been near each other. Essentially, the Shiva of Surah Masa Machasya is essentially identical. So he's the Rosh Hashiva of Masa Machasya. L'Rabbeinu Yitzchak Breid Marin of Rabban HaShimon. So he's writing a letter to Rav Yitzchak, the son of Rav Shimon. Chaviv v'yakir v'nichbad aleinu v'al yeshiva kula. So he is precious and special, splendid and honored for us and for all the Shiva. A lot of niceties he's saying about Rav Yitzchak ben Rav Shimon. Shalom Rav mi rachmanot ha-shamam yeh alecha v'al zaracha. It should be peace from to you, to be a lot of peace from the mercy of heaven on you and on your children. So there should be peace to you and your children and all the sage and all the students, all the brothers, all our Jewish brothers who are living there in Spain and Barcelona. So shalom mimenu, so that we are bestowing peace from me and from us. Umin Rav Tzemach, a base in Israel, and from Rav Tzemach, the head of the Beis Din here in Masa Mechasya, I guess that was his Rav Amram's right hand man. Umin Alufim Mechach Mishu Bnei Yeshiva V'Shalanu V'Shalim Mechasya, we're granting you shalom from all the chieftains and the sage of the yeshiva and the Bnei Yeshiva and the whole city of Masa Mechasya. Kolam B'Shalom, they're all in peace. Chachamim Talmidim V'Achenu Yisom Shurim Kam, sages, students, and our brothers who are living here. Shetamid Anu Shalim B'Shalom Chem, that we always are asking about how you're doing. V'zochrim etchem b'zikron tov, and remember you with a good memory. Mispalim ba'atchem v'akshim rachim aleichem, and we're davening for you and requesting mercy for you. Sheyirachim kadosh baruch hu brachim hamarabim, that Hashem should be merciful to you. V'yagin aleichem v'yatzil eschem mikol tzar v'nezek mikol choli machov mishilton ra. Hashem will protect you and save you from any calamity and damage, from any sickness, any kind of destruction, any kind of punishment, that's being felt in the world. And Hashem should fill with His abundant mercy all of the requests of your heart. I mean, this is amazing. This first paragraph, he's saying basically, we're always asking about your welfare. We pray for you. This is a great opening for any fundraising letter, and he's establishing connections halfway across the world, showing the love that Bavel has for the Jewish community in Spain. The next paragraph says, Shagar lefanei Rabbeinu Yaakov ben Rabbana Yitzchak. So Rav Yaakov, the son of Rav Yitzchak, sent Asar Zehuvim Shishagar to the yeshiva. He sent 10 golden pieces to the yeshiva. Hey Shalano, 5 for us, I guess, the leaders. Hey Lekupa Yeshiva, and 5 for the yeshiva itself. V'tzivanu b'rachnu oscha b'rachot sh'itkaimu b'chav v'zarcha v'zerozarcha. And we commanded you, and we are commanding, we're blessing you, blessings that will last for you and for your children and the children of your children. So essentially, so he's verifying receipt of an amount sent, and he makes an accounting of that receipt. What's going on here is that there's this relationship so far between the Spanish Jewish community and Yeshiva and Bavel. The Yeshiva and Bavel, I'm sorry, the Spanish Jewish community sends money to the Yeshiva and Bavel. And the Yeshiva and Bavel prays for them, and they're asked how they're doing, and they're always thinking about them. This is the nature of the relationship. And now, so the Spanish community is not only sending money, they're also asking questions, hand in hand. They look towards the Yeshiva and Bavel for guidance, and they're also financially supporting, providing financial support. And now the yeshiva, and now Rav Amram Gaon, before Rav Amram Gaon writes, V'seder tefilos u'brachos Hashanah kula shesha'atah. And you asked about the order of the tefilos and the blessings of the entire year. Sheherado min hashemayim, that was shown to us from heaven. Re'inu l'sader l'ashiv ki mesora shebiyodeinu k'tikun chtanayim v'morayim. That we have seen to arrange it and to respond according to the tradition that we have, like what was established by the Tanaim v'Amoraim. So in this one sentence, that the Rav Amram Gaon is saying that we are conveying authority from the Tanaim and the Amoraim and from God, that we have, that we have divine authority. We receive our arrangement from Min HaShemayim, and we are the direct line of Mesorah from the Tanaim and the Amoraim. And then what he does is he quotes a brisa, Tanya Rameir Omer Chayav Levarach Mea Brachos B'chol Yom. But Meir said that you have to recite 100 blessings every day. And in the Talmud Yerushalmi, we learn Tanya Rishir Meir, Ein Lecha Adam Mishal, Shein Otsa Meir Mitzvot Chol Yom, that every Jew does at least 100 mitzvot every day, and he brings a pasuk for it. Okay. And then, in the next paragraph, I'm skipping a little bit, it says, V'seder Eilu Meir Brachos, in the order of the arrangement of these 100 blessings, Kach Heishi Rav Natronai Bar Rav Hiloi Reish Mesipta Masa Mechashel Mekal Elisana Aide Mar Rav Yosef Morinenu. So Rav Natronai Gaon, who was the head of the yeshiva in Masa Mechashel immediately prior to Rav Amram, he sent a response to the Jewish community of Elisana. Levare Kalachas V'achas B'shaita K'mon Shem Mefarish B'per Karoa Iyasha. They says that to recite the Birchos HaShachar in their, each one in its proper time, meaning, according to the simple reading of the Gemara, that we recite the brachos when we perform the action associated with the bracha. But that we can't do. Why? Bipnei tinofes yadayim ha'askanios. Because the hands are dirty. Many people, they'd make a bracha, their hands would be dirty and inappropriate to make a bracha. So, rather, he writes that ela kishiner mishnaso, mochez panav yadav ragv kogen. Rather, when we wake up from our sleep, we wash our hands, face, and legs appropriately. To fulfill that which it says in the pasuk, to prepare ourselves for God. And then he writes, "Uminhag kos Yisrael b'sfarad, he aspamia kachu l'hotil mishenei yodea shliach tzibur." And the custom among the Jewish people in Spain, in Sfarad, which is Spain, is to be motzi, that someone's going to, the Shliach Tzibor will have in mind to someone who doesn't know the blessings. So one person will say the Birchos HaShachar and other people answer Amen. Now, what's clear from this tshuva is that this could not have been the original tshuva of Rav Amram Gaon, because what does it say? In this tshuva it says, and the Rav Amram is saying to the people in Spain, and the custom of the Jewish people in Sfarad, which is Spain, this is the custom. Why is he responding to the people in Spain what their custom is? They should know what their custom is. So Rav Amram the Gaon is not telling the people what they're doing. Many scholars say that this tshuva has been processed. It wasn't the original tshuva. It was taken and it was adapted to say that this is the custom of Spain. In other words, some tshuvos that we have are not the original tshuvos. They're the original tshuvos, so they may have been adapted, changed a bit. And that's the question when a scholar is reading a tshuva is, how reliable is the text that we're reading? Did the original writer write the letter that we're reading, or was it someone else? But also what this says is that Spain is looking to the Babylonian yeshivos as the mothership, but the ruling must conform to current practice. So it's a kind of combination of the leadership in Bavel setting the precedent, but the local community adapting it and falling with the current custom. So essentially, as we look at Jewish migration during the era of the Gaon, we see a pattern that repeats itself throughout Jewish history. When Jews move to new places, new centers of Torah and halachic authority eventually take shape. This raises an ongoing question. How much do these new communities still depend on the old ones? And when did they begin to stand on their own? The response of the Gaonim showed that Babylonia was still the main center of Jewish life, but other communities like those in Spain were starting to develop their own practices and leadership. At first, they turned to the Gaonim for guidance, but over time, they grew more confident and independent. This shift teaches us something important about leadership during times of change. Real leadership doesn't only come from holding power at the center, but from the ability to guide others and help them apply tradition in new settings. The relationship between the old homeland and new communities was therefore both respectful and evolving. The Gaonic period marks one of the first times we see this dynamic clearly, a moment when Jewish leadership began to move from one center to another, setting a pattern that would continue throughout Jewish history.